guys doing? Cornet, can you hear me behind that wall there? Good, good. Good afternoon. My name is Ivan. If you don't know me already, shame. But, no. For those that do know me, shame. See, we're in the back row. They're scared. I'm going to pick on them. David, are you okay? I'll make you sing in a minute. Just stick around. But I love what Mark said. We love walking with the ways of the Lord. And one of the challenges with leading a church, as Mark is being spirit-led. Because we so easily want to be, please man, when you're building a church like this, like we want to get people back. But more importantly, we want to get the Holy Spirit back in this place. Presence of God back into what we're doing. So we can have lights, we can have music, we can have flashing videos, all these things that can draw men for a moment. But we want to have the presence of God in our hearts, in our lives, and in the services. So even this afternoon, can we just take a second and take a minute? And we could easily just start preaching and just give you 5 really good points to live your life. But in a moment, God can come by His Spirit and wreck us. So Bobby, I'm glad you're still up there. Can we just wait on the Lord for a few minutes? I'm just going to sit down. I might stand up again, but in this time as Bobby plays, maybe just settle your hearts. Settle your hearts. Just feeling during worship. This thing, I think maybe for someone here, maybe more than one person, you got the question on your heart right now saying, what if? What if? What if I don't find a place? What if my finances don't come through? What if this? What if that? I just feel in the Lord this afternoon, just change the what if to even if. Even if. God is faithful. John 14 says so clearly, let not your hearts be troubled. Just the peace of God. So, yeah, just rest it from it. Bobby's going to play for a minute, and we'll pick up in a second from that. Go for it, bro. Whatever you feel to. If you want to sing, whatever, yeah. God, we're desperate for your presence in our hearts, our lives. You say in your presence there's fullness of joy, there's life, and life in abundance. And no better place we want to be than in your presence, God. We We can't manufacture it. But one thing we know is that in your presence, there is peace, there is life. So Lord, I pray for those this afternoon that are perhaps struggling with just anxiety, even right now. You release it. You bring your peace, God. You said your peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts, guard our minds in Christ Jesus. So Jesus, this afternoon, in your presence, won't you come, bring rest, bring peace. You are beautiful. We worship you this afternoon, God. We worship you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Josh Jen. If it's your first time here, it really is. I think most of you have been here before. I look across here, but if it's your first time, really a warm welcome. Thanks, Bobby. You maybe stick around close by, see what God does. But yeah, it really is lovely to see what God is doing. Some of you in this venue for the first, not for the first time, but back in this venue again, and good to see faces that are familiar and what God is doing in amongst us. And who's enjoying this venue? Anybody? Pretty cool, eh? Actually, really nice. Don't feel like I've got a camera watching me the whole time, like moving the piano around like the last place you're going to get moaned at on a Monday morning. But it was really, really great being in the last place. They were gracious to us, really cool. But what God is wanting to do in this place is what's really exciting. But this afternoon, I think I want to go straight into the Word of God. God has given me a word. I feel that it is for us in season, and it's going to take us forward. It's going to encourage us. It's going to move us forward into the things of what the Lord has. And where should I stand, Rian? Further back, further forward? Further forward. You guys okay with a little bit of feedback every now and again? Should I come right here? Can I walk around? When I find the sweet spot, if you see me walking around, if it's too hollow, too high, too low, but we work on the sound in this place, so bear with us, we're getting it right. But come on, let's get straight to the Word of God. And I think what the Lord has really laid on my heart this afternoon, I'm going to share probably for about 15, 20 minutes. I will watch my watch. I was a professional athlete, so I'm used to watching to the minute. But I still want to give the Lord just the flexibility to do what He wants to do in and through us as I share the Word of God. So I do have a few notes, and the reason I've got a few notes is my eyes are getting worse, so my pages are getting more. Before I would have only one page. As I've got older, like now I've got like just like big writing. You know, Helen, you know how that is, eh? So my writing is like really big. But yes, so just bear with me. And I've got some notes here because there are some points. So as much as it's in my heart, what God's laid, there are some key points that I don't want to miss. And sometimes when you're speaking, if you've ever spoken in front of people, you get so many thoughts running through your mind. You just want to share it all at once. But by writing it down, or some guys actually use computers now and like new tech, but by having this, it allows me just to not miss certain things. So I'm going to skim over it every now and again. I will look down. It's not because I'm nervous or I'm scared of you. It's just I want to make sure I don't miss what God is saying. But what I'm really feeling for this afternoon is that God wants to keep us on track and really help us get ready for what He wants to do in and through Langebaan area. He's got a great work. I think we're going to outgrow this place pretty. I don't know what we're going to do about that, but maybe multiple services, whatever God wants to do. But this place is going to get too small for what God wants to do in this area. We will see the outworking of that, but it's really exciting. And just to be a part of the initial pioneering stages with Mike and the team has been a true privilege. And just for us, as we recap, maybe you haven't been there last one or 2 weeks. Some of you were away and maybe traveling. God's been doing a great work. Corné shared a few weeks ago just about building together that it's not about a one-man show. It's not about Mike Oxley standing up here and preaching on a Sunday afternoon and ticking a box and walking out. No, it's about each one of us, each one doing its part. And then last week, Mark shared about loving each other. And God's got this kind of journey about discipling and how do we disciple and do this thing called life together. And I think for us, as we journey through life and through the church life, God's just doing amazing things. So for us in Langebaan this afternoon, get ready. Really, I want to say get ready and stay on track. And if you don't know Jesus 100% this afternoon, man, you are in the right place at the right time. Because we're going to share right at the end about how you can meet Jesus and have a personal journey. So that's probably the most exciting part about this whole time. But before we go, let's go straight into the Word of God. Read what His Word says. Because my words have some meaning, but His power in His Word is amazing. So can we maybe stand this afternoon, not to be religious, but just to break our little bit of traditions. We're going to read the Word of God. Who's got a good radio voice here? Who's got the best radio voice, would you say, in this place that you know that's going to read Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, if you want to turn there in the meantime. Brenda, where's Brenda? Brenda, there we go. Brenda's going to read Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Radio voice. You can read it on there.
Okay, can you hear me? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me."
Father, thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, God. We thank you, Lord. We want to be those that are ready to be sent and go and do what you've asked us to do. So even this afternoon, God, won't you stir what we were saying earlier, stir a passion for your name, burn the fire in our hearts, God, like never before, God. Do something like that only you can do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Brenda. Awesome. Now we know who to pick on in future. Very cool. Very cool. And that'll be our verse, one of our verses today. I'll probably read one more. But just as I was preparing for today, just a thing of getting ready to go into all the world, and maybe a bit of a story just to get set a bit of foundation. For those of you who don't know, I have a beautiful wife. She's not with us at the moment. She's in Austria with her dad, traveling around to meet her family in Austria. So I do have a beautiful wife. Normally I would make her stand up and do something, but I won't today. But those that have met Karen, we got married 30 years ago, and we had that awesome privilege of traveling across to Hawaii. But on the way, we stopped off in Amsterdam. Who's ever been to Amsterdam to the airport there? It's quite a crazy airport and a lot of busyness, like most international airports. And we had about 6 hours to spare. And we thought, why are we going to sit in the airport? Let's get out and go and see what Amsterdam is all about. So we got on a train. We went into town, cruised around. Spent about an hour. We had like a few hours left. So like, come on, let's just cruise. And then we end up, okay, getting tired. Let's get back to the airport. We've got an international flight to the U.S. Let's not miss that. So we're on a schedule and like, okay, cool. Back on the train, sitting on this train, just enjoying the scenery, just really enjoying life, looking at like, oh, beautiful area as we're going. And as we're like about half an hour, like, man, we should probably be there. It's like feeling like it's getting a little bit long on this journey. And the conductor comes past, where they speak Dutch, and said, "Tickets, please." He looks at us like, he's like, "Where are you going?" Like, "No, we're going back to the airport, Amsterdam Airport. And he's like, "No, you're on your way to Belgium." And we're like, oh my heck. We were merrily cruising this journey of life, just enjoying the scenery. We were lost. We were going exactly the opposite direction on our way to Belgium. You know when panic like kind of takes over your heart and like your life and just your heart starts beating? Like, oh my goodness, we are lost. And as I look at this and relate the scripture we read this afternoon, there's something about being lost. And I know most of us in this place have given our hearts to the Lord. But there's a thing called sin, where we were once lost, but now we're found. And as we look at Isaiah, this is 740 BC, and a time when there's just political chaos going on in his area. The king Uzziah has just died in Judah, and there's just chaos that's happening. There's political unrest. And this man, Isaiah, he's one of the major prophets in the Bible. He has this vision and there's just this openness of heaven, and he sees the Lord. And in this moment, as he experiences just the train of the Lord filling the temple, and just the smoke, and just this awesomeness of God's presence, he just realizes one thing. He says, "Woe is me." What does he say? "I am lost. I am lost." When you're in the presence of God, there's something, even for us, we realize what sinners we actually are, how how fraught. Andrew often uses the word, how fraught we are. It's like Afrikaans word, okay? We are lack of fraught. And sometimes we think we're better than we are, but actually, when you're in God's presence, like Isaiah, you realize how lost you are. And for us, as we're listening this afternoon, I hope that God sets us on fire. But for those that are perhaps maybe off track, like I was relating their story, we can so easily just be 1 degree off, and we're off the mark. We can be living in sin. We can just be slightly off and not on track with what God has. And I pray this afternoon that God sets us on track and keeps us on track for what he has for us for this place called Langebaan, because he's got an amazing journey in store for each one of us. We've heard the last few weeks how God wants to use, equip you, and have you ready to serve the kingdom of God in and through this area. And then go out into all the world, and we'll touch on that shortly. But for me personally, for those of you who don't know me, I gave my life to the Lord when I was like one of these. We prayed for the kids recently, or a few minutes ago. I was 4 years old when I gave my life to the Lord, brought up in church, but I realized even at a young age, I needed Jesus. Even at a four-year-old, something inside my heart, I realized I was lost. It's like just something. I didn't know the deep theologies of the Bible, but even as a young boy, I realized I needed a Savior, and I responded. I didn't understand everything, but in a time where the Lord was moving in his presence, I lifted up my hand. I said, yes, I accept Jesus into my heart. And in that moment, something happened, and God touched and arrested my heart, which was beautiful, but he set me on a course. And I think for us, even as we today in God's presence, there's lives in this place that God wants to really use. And I want to look at what Jesus said. And if I had to title this message for today, I'm not always the one about titles, but I know sometimes like Henry back there. Henry, thanks for the awesome job you do. Each week just doing this. But if I had to title this, I would say, don't get lost. Don't get lost. Stay on track. And for those that are Christians, let's help you not get lost at all. And if you don't know Jesus this afternoon, I think one thing that we hope as a church, the reason we're here as a church, not just to sing some songs and warm these chairs, but if you don't know the Lord this afternoon, if you haven't had a personal experience with Jesus, that today that your sins will be forgiven and you'll find the hope and life that God has and the purpose that he has for you this afternoon. Jesus in the Great Commission. Who knows the Great Commission? Who can recite it? Cornel, I saw that hand in the back. Did your hand go up there? It did go up there. What is the Great Commission? Can we read it together? Come, let's read it. I'll read it out for you. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Yes, this, right as I was preparing this message, or actually going over it this afternoon, I just came from Melbourne. I was sitting by the beach just getting refreshed after this morning service. I look across to the left, and there's like, wow, there's a whole lot of weird people down there by the water. It's like, sheesh, that's all our people from Melbourne, like a whole bunch. And they're baptizing right there. They're dunking the guy in the ocean in front of everybody, and the whole beach is watching. But this is what Jesus is saying. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of age. And Jesus says, go into all the world and tell of the good news to everyone, everywhere. Is that the right scripture? Go therefore. Yes, go therefore and make disciples. So for us in Langebaan, it's amazing to see the lives that are being added. Each one being added for what God wants to do here. But guess what? The Great Commission, Jesus says, go into all the world, make disciples. So let's look at how Jesus made disciples. And I'm going to tie the threads together from Isaiah to from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So Jesus, what did he do? He first called. There was an invitation. He said, come, follow me. Come, follow me. What a beautiful invitation. Who's heard that call from the Lord? Come follow me. And we responded. We said, Lord, here I am. Secondly, when you were with the Lord, he would challenge them and he would walk with them daily. It wasn't just a Sunday. So one thing I want to ask us as Langebaan, one of the traditions that we've seen in South Africa is that very often Sunday would be just a church thing that we would tick off and I did the church thing. But Jesus walked with them daily. He walked with them daily and he challenged his disciples to walk on a daily basis. And he committed them to the mission to go and spread the good news. So when I was young, as I mentioned, I gave my life to the Lord at 4 years of age. And right from the age of 7 already, an old missionary, an older missionary, older man from Sweden, just saw probably something of God in my heart. And he started taking me into the mission field, into the neighboring areas. And on Sundays, very often, where most of my friends might be surfing or playing skateboards, I'd go on a Sunday and I'd go into the fields with the Africans. And man, let me tell you, my heart was wrecked. I would go there and I would see God just moving, coming across, just revival happening. And I would be in the presence very often just on my face. So from a young age, I would see God just moving. And I was being discipled. I didn't realize that at the time, but from a young age of 7, I was being discipled. But it didn't stop there. As I went through the years, 18, up to 18, through the high school years, there were men and women alongside me that would help disciple me and bring me into the things of God. Even to this day, I'm part of a team in Melbourne and also with Mike and the crew here that I'm being discipled. So when I go off track, guess what? These guys get me back on track. I realize left to my own devices, I'm going to go off track. Just like me sitting on the train with my wife, beautiful, going on the way to Belgium without knowing it. Without this, without having each other, we're going to go off track. So I want to encourage you this afternoon, stay on track, stay on track. Realize how easily we can get lost and know that the Lord is for you. He's really for you. And those that he's put around you, I look across here, there's mighty men and women of God. There's leaders, future leaders in this place that God's going to raise up, and just watch the space of what God's doing and walk alongside them and allow them to work into your lives and talk into your lives. One of the things I've learned as I look at Jesus, he invited, the invitation went out. We see with Isaiah here, the word comes to him, the Lord says, Seraphim says, who will go for us? And what does Isaiah say? Here I am, send me. So Jesus, when he came with his disciples, he had an invitation. He said, come and follow me. He walked with them, as I said. He taught them on the way. And then he released them to go into the world and share the good news. I think for us, as I look at our lives, I look at Mike Oxley that's currently leading this congregation. And he's walked alongside me. He's challenged me many a times. He's sharpened me. Who knows the scripture? Iron sharpens iron. Yeah? I've been with Cornet. He's sharpened me a little bit. Michael, look across here. But iron sharpens iron. I've been discipled. I've been discipled with men. I'm under the mic as he leads us. But there's times when he gave his life to the Lord, him and Stacy, and I was discipling him, and he worked for me for how many years, Mike? 6, 7 years? Yeah, number of years. You remember that, eh? He was a different man then, and God put him in my path, and I had to help disciple him in the ways of God and help raise him up. So for my business, I didn't just see it as a business, not just a brand. It's like, Lord, who can I help bring through? So I've had Barrent. You guys, who's met Barrent? He's from Melbourne. He's currently leading there. I've had Ross Lahana, who's currently leading another congregation. These are all guys that have worked with us in our business, and they are now leading congregations and more. I've got my son Nathan now, James, Jake. So these are people that are around me. And I don't just use it as opportunity to make and create finances. No, we use our lives to make disciples and be discipled. And for myself, as I mentioned, I'm being discipled in my life, even right up to this week. Guys ask me, how's your marriage, Ivan? How's your marriage? Discipling me. How about kids? Ooh, let's talk about kids. It's like the holy subject right there. When last did you ask somebody in this church, how are my kids doing? Who's asked that lately? Yo, that's one of the gnarly questions to ask in church. Go ask one of your leaders or one of those around you. You better laugh. Your parents are right sitting next to you. How are they doing? They're doing good. Good men. I'm going to have to ask you. Come ask us later. But ask Mike. Ask Mike, how are my kids doing? What areas? And these are things of discipleship, of walking it out one with another. Loving. Mike spoke about loving each other. So as we do this in love, we walk this discipleship journey of life together, staying on track. Because if you're 1 degree off, 1 degree, you're going to miss the mark. You're going to miss the mark. And we can't do it alone. I wish Michael was here because he had such a cool accent the one Sunday. We are better together. What is that? He had such a good, Mike, you missed it. But we are better together. We need you. We really need you. We really need you. You're an integral part, each one each and every single one of you, as I look across the room. You are so needed. But guess what? Even more importantly, you need us. You need us. You need the men and women of God that are going to help you stay on track for your journey, for your kids, if you're not married, if you're single, choosing the right spouse, all these things as we journey through life. You need us. We need you. Is that good? Learn from Jesus. Really learn from him. I've learned over my life, I need to ask for it. I need to ask. Speak into my life. So as we talk about disciple, as we talk about working with each other, one thing I've picked up over the last few months, how long have we been going? Like 9 months? Is the thing of walking it out together. Mikhail once or twice has asked, Ivan, what area in my life do you see that I need to adjust? If we can get that right, as Langebaan, as a family, as a people, this place won't be the same. Where the Lord will come and help us. Come direct our ways. Ask it. Permission is given. We don't, even as leaders, we don't rule it over you. We won't rule it over you. We'll see something. We might try and bring adjustment, but give us permission to work into areas of life. It makes our job, makes Mike's job so much easier. It's not a job, but just the role that God's given him. Say, Mike, how can I help? What areas in my life? Give him permission to, if he sees something, and watch what God does in that. Because right now, what I really feel, so Mike said earlier, I've sensed things. I really sense that each one, what God is doing now is setting a foundation. He's setting a foundation for what's to come. You're an integral part, each one that God's added. But he's setting a foundation for what's to come into the future. And if we can get it right, like even the worship this afternoon, from the day one that we started, it's completely different. Hey, who agrees? I mean, the first day there was one or two people, Mikhail screaming up front, like, what's up with that guy? He's kind of weird. He is weird, but he's cool there. But now there's a movement. Like there's actually, Lord, we want to worship you because your word says we worship you in spirit and in truth, not in a comfort zone of where I'm comfortable behind a chair. No, my whole body, my mind, my soul, my strength, I want to worship you. And for us, it's not about coming forward only, but wherever we are in this place, like, Lord, we want to worship you and set a standard. When people walk through these doors, they're like, that's a people that are passionate about Jesus, and their lives will be changed because of your worship. As nations come in, as different regions come in from around this West Coast area, they come into this place, they're going to see people that are passionate for Jesus. So you might not feel like it. Again, in church, we don't go by feelings. Some days, even today, I said to Mark when I got here, Mark, I just feel like sitting in my car taking a nap. Can I take a nap for a few hours? I was joking. But we don't go by feelings. Like, Lord, I am passionate about your name. What can I do to serve you, to bring glory to your name today? And that's the people that we should be. So I've learned to ask for it. And as we journey this thing and help us stay on track. Now, there's a big thing, maybe just I felt as I was preparing. Be careful who your conductor is. Be careful who you're watching. Be careful who you're listening to. If you're listening to a TV guy that's really feeding you on a Saturday or Sunday morning, I'd probably say be careful. Be a big warning. They don't know you. They really don't know you. They probably don't care about you, even though they might say, please put your credit card here and we'll help you, whatever it might be that you have these days. But those amongst you, as they walk with you, as they disciple you, get to know them. Get to know the conductor. Get to know who the person is. You'll see the fruit in their lives. So I'm picking on Mike this afternoon because I can, because he's a leader and what God's placed. But I know Mike's life. I know he's not perfect. Mike, you're perfect. Stacy's perfect. Where's Stace? She's perfect, near perfect. But what I love about them, they love the Lord and they'll own their mistakes. So he's not perfect. He's going to mess up. He's going to get it wrong. Believe me, he's going to get it wrong more than he gets it right initially. Be gracious. He'll own the mistakes. And that's a good leader that you can follow. Know them by their fruit. I look at their fruit. I look at their family. I look around, family around them. Look at the boys. There they are right now. Nephews, nieces helping. I look at the fruit of their lives. You can trust them. Know your conductors, those that are working amongst you, that they help you stay on track. And when they get it wrong, be gracious. They're going to get it wrong, but come alongside and keep loving them. Is that good? A little nugget there. Lynette, is that good? It is, eh? In church life, you've been in church long, eh? You've seen it. We've seen leaders get it right. We've probably seen more leaders get it wrong. Very often. We get it wrong so much. But as long as we're staying on course, staying close to what the Lord has for us. learn to trust them. So Mark didn't ask me to preach this message. I'm not getting paid for this. But trust your leaders. Corné, mighty man of God, I've got to know him. He's not perfect yet. He's a work in progress, a big work in progress. Corné, I love you. He's a big work in progress. Michael, Auntie Lynette, but they love the Lord. They love Jesus. You can trust them. Learn to trust them. Give them your hearts as they direct you, as they keep you on track. Maybe a quick example just to help us with the illustration of trusting those around us. Many of you have met my son, Nathan. He's grown up. He's not so little anymore, but he used to be very little. When Mark joined us, he was probably about 7 or 8 years old. Little boy, little blonde rat, just naughty-nosed little surf rat. He loves the water, he's born in Hawaii, loves the ocean. He's just got a natural ability to do well in the ocean. And some of you have met him. His name is Nathan. And he's quite a cool kid. He's one of the deacons, actually. Now God's actually raising him up. But he wasn't always so cool. He was kind of arrogant when he was growing up. And he was always sweet, but he had some little moments. But one year he got invited. He was 15. And he got invited to go to the first ever world championships of a ocean crossing, which is a 60-kilometer ocean crossing from one island in Hawaii to another island. A really long distance for a 15-year-old kid. To travel across on a hydrofoil for the first time across the channels. So when you stand on the one island, you cannot see where you're going. It's 60 k's across. You stand on the beach, and you have to go travel across on a hydrofoil, which is like a fin thing on a surfboard that flies across the water. Best way to explain it. Like an airplane wing underwater. That's it. And this was a new sport at the time, and he got invited as a young 15-year-old to go to the first ever world championships. There were 7 or 8 guys across the world that got invited. And we're like, whoa, this is pretty cool. But the thing was, getting on the way, as he was training, he realized how nervous he was. He had never been across the ocean like that far before. I trained him from a young boy just to be around me, listen to my voice when I'm competing with him, just training him in the ways, kind of discipling him on the side. So we got to the beach. We had a boat that we got on. It's like an escort boat that was allowed to go alongside him. And what I would do, as the race started, I would be next to him. I couldn't touch him, obviously. I had to be distant. But the whole way from the start, you can't see where you're going. So you're starting at the one point called Molokai, and you're going all the way to an island called Oahu, which is way 60 k's away across this treacherous, one of the world's most treacherous islands. Waves are almost the size of the roof, just gale force conditions, wild, wild ocean for a 15-year-old to be in this. And fortunately, I'm on this boat, and I'm like looking down on him sometimes, just as wild storms. But all the way along the course, I'm speaking to him gently, like, Nathan, stay on course. You're going off. You're going too high. Come back down. Come back. Come up. Go down. And I'm directing. I've got the GPS. I know where I'm going. I can see. And he's learned to hear my voice. Nathan, drink some water. Nathan, faster. Nathan, slow down. So the whole way, he's hearing my voice. I'm discipling him all the way through to the end. But it didn't just come from the one race. It came from years of walking with him. From a young man, I trained him. I'd go next to him, Mike, and those around us. He learned to listen to the voices around him, the ones that were discipling him on the ways of the water. And now he's in the life of the church, being discipled in the same way. He got to the end of that race. He made it, which was a miracle in its own. It's a huge, long race, one of the world's most treacherous races. And he ended up coming second, of all places, for a little snot-nosed South African, which is pretty cool. But the thing with the story is, he learned to hear my voice, and he trusted me. He learned to trust my voice, because he could have gone with his own agenda. He's like, Dad, I'm doing this race. It's not your race. I know where I'm going. And he could have gone just 1 degree off of Oahu. He would have ended up in Fiji or somewhere, some other weird island, okay? He had to stay on course. It's a very narrow entry point to come to the end. I think for us in life, very, very similar situation where without each other, we can just go there 1 degree off and miss what God has. And I feel for us this afternoon, if I can just sum it up, stay on track. Really stay on track. Stay close to those around you as God raises up leaders. For those that are looking as a church, really, if this is where God's placing you, give your heart. Give your heart. Even as I'm preparing, I was feeling like some are prepared to give part of your heart. You'll give a certain amount of trust, just a little bit. I've been hurt in the past. You've been hurt. Like, Mark, I'll give you just a little part. Stace, I'll give this part of my heart, but not my whole heart. I got hurt the last time. I just feel the Lord saying, give your whole heart. Trust what God's doing. They're not on their own mission. God is doing a work into the nations from this place. And as you give your heart, you're going to see your destiny unfold. What God has, a purpose, beautiful purpose, no matter what age, from the older to the younger. I'm not saying you're old, but from the older to the younger, God has a plan and purpose. He really does. So give your hearts. If you've been hurt in church, man, I've been in church for 50 years. I've been hurt many times. And guess what? I'll get hurt again. But I don't get up and leave every time. I probably took your parking this afternoon. Maybe you'd like to park in a certain place. And I took your parking. Like, heck, this guy parked in my parking again, second time in a week. And like, I'm not coming back. No, don't get offended. Come back. We love you. Maybe sitting in Lynette's sitting in your place right now. Man, it's okay. Find another place. These chairs on the side are really cool. But the simple things that will trip us up and take us off track so easily in church, especially church life. This is where God's put us. Whoever's actually probably irritating you, God has them there for your sake. That person we see like, oh, no, not again. Vito, no, Lord, help me. No, I love you, joking. But just that, God wants to just refine us for what he wants to do into this area. Now I'm wrapping up here. So even as you get offended, get over it, please. Help us help you get over it. Even if you join a tennis club, guess what? You join a bowling club. Or what are you playing these days? Paddle thing. Paddle thing, yeah. Even that paddle thing. Someone there is going to offend you. They're going to smack you in the back of the head with a bat or all these weird things that happen. That's a dangerous sport, I heard, eh? Watch out, stick to extreme sports rather. That's really dangerous. But if you've been hurt in church, and yeah, I'm making light of it, but probably more seriously, I'm sorry. Yo. Yeah. If you've been offended by leaders, yo, we're sorry about that. Really sorry. If you've been, even within Josh, Jen, perhaps maybe someone's offended you, we ask for forgiveness. Maybe even this building. Things have happened in the past. I don't know the history. Just the hurts. Man, we're sorry for what happened. Wasn't God's plan. There's mere men that are doing things. Sometimes we go off track. Even as leaders, we mess up. So as leaders in this house, we say sorry for what might have offended you, or maybe kept you or derailed you, taking you off track for a while. But use this time to come right with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to give you my heart. I don't want to miss out for what you have for us and for my family and for this family and for what he wants to do into this region. And finally, you might be looking for a church that you can call family. I'd love to say there's a perfect family in the world. I feel like I have a perfect one, but stick around for a week. My family, as beautiful as they are, sometimes can be a real mess. They love the Lord, but we make mistakes. And for Josh, Jen, I can say I've been part of it for 18 years now. We've made many mistakes, but one thing we are, we'll own them, and we say we are hungry for the Lord's presence, to see God move upon our hearts, to move upon our families, into the nations. It's a safe place. I can say that. I've been to many churches around the world, lived overseas for 20 years, visited, spoken to many churches, I've been in many churches, even spoken in different organizations, but I can say what God is doing in and through Josh Jen, not the best church, not necessarily, I'm not saying the best church, but for us, what God wants to do, I could say it's the best church for me and for my family. I've given my heart to it. And for you this afternoon, if you're looking for a church, find a good church, find a healthy church. Look around you. Say, Lord, I want to be a part of a healthy church. You've got one life to live. Make it count. If it's not this place, please, we love you. But really, we really don't want to warm chairs on a Sunday. We want people's lives to count. The purpose, the plan that God has for you, as it unfolds, we're going to help disciple you. You're going to help disciple us into the things of the Lord. And together, we're going to see nations changed. And finally, what Isaiah said, the seraphim said to Isaiah, who will go for me? Who will go? And I say, Lord, send me. Send me, whether it's to Longabon, whether it's to wherever, Lord, send me. My heart's been that, my life's been that, dedicated to things of God. And for us as a people, I would hope that it would be our prayer as God starts working in us and through us. Like, we don't just come here on a Sunday and this is the end of our lives. Like, no, Lord, send me. And I want to encourage you, and we want to encourage you, get your passports ready, Langabon. Get your passports ready. Henry, Des, get your passports ready. Brazil's waiting. I don't know where Mark's heart is these days or where he's going, but you're not just going to be sitting in Langabon for the rest of your life. There's places, there's nations that need to see and hear what God's doing in and through each one of you. It's going to be amazing. No age limit. My dad's 90 years old, as I mentioned before. He's 90 years old, and when he heard about Langabon, he's like, can I come join it? He can hardly move. He can hardly get to the toilet. He's like, Mark Stalin, can I come join and help Mike? He's like, Dad, just try and get to the restroom each day. And then, I love him. He's a beautiful man. But his heart is like, send me. Send me. Lord, send me. I'm ready. I'm not going to retire, but I'll refire for the ways of God. And may that be us. When we're 90, we get to 100. That's almost like getting there a little bit quicker than others. May we be those that say, Lord, send me. May that never stop in our lives. Amen. So I'm going to end with that this afternoon. I hope there's been some nuggets in that. And just to tie it all together, what I feel the Lord saying for us as Langabon for this week in September. Stay on track. Stay on track. Don't get lost. Please don't get lost. Don't get lost. Let the Lord work in your heart. Lay aside your hard parts. Say, Lord, help me. Open up to others around me. Be discipled well. And then start making disciples. Don't let it be all about you. Feed me, feed me. No, start looking for those around you that can help you. And you can help them into the things of God for what he wants to do in and through this area. Amen. I have a few more things, but I think that's what God wants to say. I'm going to stop there. Bobby, you can just jam for us a bit there. Is that helpful? Are there any questions? Any questions? Like, why did you say that? Or anything? Any questions? All good? Well, see me afterwards if there are. If there's any questions. Beautiful kids coming through the back there. Awesome. I mean, a few minutes longer, but yeah, just even times in the Lord. Come, let's close our eyes. Jesus, you are awesome. You are mighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When we see your holiness, when we're in your presence, we recognize the awesomeness of who you are, Lord, your beauty. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for who you are, God. I said in the beginning of the service that I'm going to make a moment at the end where we are going to just give you a moment to respond to the Lord if you have never received him as Lord and Savior. That in the Bible we see is called born again, being born again into the things of the Spirit. And I know most of us in this place that have at one time in their lives given their lives to the Lord. But if you never have, and that's really why we are here.